I would venture a guess we all know what a substitute is. If you've ever had a substitute teacher, that was your cue to act up and be bad in school, right? It meant that for that moment, you had another teacher other than your regular teacher for the course of that day. But there are also substitutes in sports, are there not? If you're playing football, you can have a substitute come in from you so you could have a break and a rest and a drink of water on the sideline. If you played soccer, each team has three substitutes that at some point during the game they can come in and stand in so they are playing instead of you and you go to the bench in order to rest. In basketball, there are an unlimited amount of substitutes. Somebody comes in, plays your position, then you come back in and substitute for this person. But the whole point is, when there are substitutes, there is one person instead of another. A different teacher instead of your regular teacher. A different offensive lineman instead of the starting lineman. A different forward or a different center instead of the person that normally would be playing the game. Well, in our text this morning from Mark, Jesus was substitute for Barabbas. Barabbas was the criminal, the murderer who had led an insurrection against Rome. If there was anyone who deserved the death of a cross, it was in fact Barabbas. And yet, who went to the cross and who was given freedom? It was the murderer who was set free, and it was the innocent who went to his death. So clearly, Jesus was Barabbas's substitute. Not his teacher, but somebody who took the place of Barabbas, who was scourged and beaten and mocked and spit on, given the crown of thorns, given the nails. It should have been Barabbas, but it was, in fact, Jesus as his substitute. Now, Barabbas' name is quite interesting. It is spelled, hang with me for a moment, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Barabbas is spelled B-A-R-A-B-B-A-S. Well, in Hebrew, B-A-R means son, and Abbas means father. So Barabbas' name literally means, in English, son of the father. It is pure irony that the Son of God becomes the substitute for the Son of God. That the innocent, righteous Jesus should be the substitute for the not-so-righteous Barabbas. It is the height of irony that Jesus would be the willing substitute, taking Barabbas's place when it should have been Barabbas undergoing all that Jesus underwent. The murderer went free, and the free man went to his death. Such is the love and the grace of our God. Not that there would just be any old substitute, but in fact, God became the substitute. So that one Son of God went to his death, so that the guilty Son of God should go free. Well, surely somebody will ask me, Mark, what's that got to do with me in Ashtabula on a Sunday morning such as this? Well, the good news is, Jesus wasn't just Barabbas's substitute. He's also yours. For you are sons and daughters of God. In a way, we are all Barabbas's. And instead of us undergoing what is our just deserts, we find that the Son of God went to our place instead of us and on our behalf. so that we who are guilty might go free. The free went to the place of guilt. My friends, the good news for us is that our judge went to judgment in place of us, the judged. Our substitute, instead of us, on our behalf, the one going to judgment judged guilty so that the guilty might be acquitted, not guilty. Such is the love and the grace of our God, that not just anybody would take our place, but the one and only begotten Son of God should go to our cross while we go scot-free. So, my friends, it means that our sins are covered. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins have been blotted out. I would venture a guess we've all used whiteout as a time, haven't we? You know, the white paint that you paint over the mistakes, or now they've got a little tape that you can tape all over it. Well, my friends, because of Jesus, our sins have been whited out. They've been taped over. God can't see them. He only sees the blood of Jesus Christ. So he doesn't read of our failures and our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions, our falling shorts. He doesn't see those things. Because Jesus went to the cross, they all have been whited out and covered over. And if the worst human being can be set free, a Barabbas, a murderer, a rebellion, a leader of an insurrection, if God can forgive him, logic suggests he can forgive us. So, my friends, if we truly have been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness for our sins. And not all of them, but all of them. Not just mine, not just yours, but all people in this entire world have been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he hasn't just been our substitute, but he has been the substitute for everyone. If you're anything like me, you probably had a time in your life when you've thought or felt, in a sense, guilty. And I'm not talking about guilt in the sense of having a speeding ticket, because who feels guilty when you speed? I'm not talking about jaywalking. I mean, who really feels guilty when you cross the street outside the little white lines? But I'm talking about having thoughts and feelings of guilt when you know you have royally screwed up. When you said something you shouldn't have said. When you did something that hurt somebody. When you should have done something and you didn't do something. If you're anything like me, it usually starts somewhere in your stomach. Like you had something too spicy. It feels almost like you have a lead brick just sitting in there. Maybe it brings a sense of shame, a sense of remorse. Maybe it brings a few tears. But we all have had, maybe we even have it right now, the sense, the thought, the awareness of being guilty before God. A sense of shame, embarrassment, remorse. We have all had them. Maybe we even have them as we speak. But my friends, that's not the end of our story. Because Jesus was our substitute, it means that we are not only going to have this feelings and thoughts of guilt, but it also means we can come to have an experience, a new thought, a new feeling, a feeling of being forgiven. When you hear "it is finished," when we hear on Maundy Thursday, "this is my body broken on behalf of you, instead of you," when we are reminded on Thursday that "this is my blood shed for you," we are reminded he paid the price so that we don't have to, so that we could have a sense of being forgiven and loved and shown mercy in spite of ourselves. Because we are reminded Barabbas goes free because Jesus went to the cross. So, my friends, there is not one of us that does not feel guilty. And I'll be in the first of that line. But because of this wonderful good news, you can have a sense of being forgiven and held, shown love and compassion, to have it all blotted away, whited out, being covered. And my friends, that is truly, truly the good news of a Palm Sunday, that Barabbas can go free because a different Barabbas went to his place. My friends, these are not the actions of a cruel God, a God who wants to chuck lightning bolts, a God that does not want to stomp on us. These are the actions of a God of love and a God of grace, that Jesus became us to save us. So, my friends, there is one person in this room that you need to forgive more than anything. One person that needs to be let off the proverbial hook, so to speak. The one to let go of their sins and their transgressions. And that person is, in fact, you. You can forgive you. You can let it go. Because it's covered, blotted out. God hit the backspace key and the page is empty. Because Jesus went to the cross instead of you. So whatever it is that you hold yourself accountable for, and believe me, we are our own worst critics, but whatever it is that you think you failed on and you need to deserve punishment for, no, I'm here to tell you, you can let it go. Because Barabbas went free. Because Barabbas, Jesus of Nazareth, went to his place. So, my friends, we are a forgiven people. We have already been forgiven. The price has already been paid. But it means that if we are a forgiven people, we become a forgiving people. And it doesn't start with the person next to you or in front of you or behind you, the person up there, the person outside. It starts with the person that stares at you when you look in the mirror. That if God has forgiven me, I can have the courage to forgive me, to let it go, to let it be covered, whited out, deleted and blotted. because we are a people who remember it should have been me, but it was him. So, my friends, it is my privilege to remind you that in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Now it is time we become his children and forgive each other, and most importantly, time to forgive ourselves. He has paid the price of our freedom. It is now high in time and mighty to be a free and forgiving people. And as the song says, let it begin with me. To God be given the glory and the honor and the praises of all of his people of all times and all places. And let all of God's people say,